Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome, everybody.
Tapes and Scouts.
We're going to talk about a movie.
Yep, that's true.
I'm going to tell you that I hate it, and Max, well, maybe he love it.
Nope.
No, he doesn't, he said.
Wait, but no, wait, this episode, yeah, no, that I actually do.
Well, this episode, you know we're like a movie, girl.
Yep.
Hi. Hi, everybody. It's time for Tapes and Scouts. Did you like our little ditty? Don't really care if you did.
No,
I hear
shut
it's
up.
It's charting in Cambodia. Thank you, Cambodia.
Whoop, whoop.
Let's talk movies. Max, you want me to go first, or would you like... I love that that's a catchphrase. Would you like to go first, buddy?
I'm going to go first.
Then I'll allow it.
1995.
I remember 95. I was doing some shit then.
Absolutely. How about Heavyweights?
Ooh, I don't remember Heavyweights. Go ahead.
Okay, August 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I watched it.
Yep.
1 hour and 40 minutes. Okay. Just missing out.
Okay.
It is a family comedy.
All right.
It is directed by Stephen Brill, starring Aaron Schwartz, Ben Stiller, and Lee Lale.
Okay.
It is about an overweight set of children who are lured into joining a posh fat camp with the promise of weight loss and good times.
Dynamite.
Only to find out that the facility is run by a psycho ex-fitness instructor whose plan is to turn the camp into a grueling weight loss infomercial.
That rules.
Yeah. This movie is the fucking shit.
Is it good?
It's so good. It's a Disney live action film from the 90s.
Oh,
so sure. It's definitely high on my nostalgia factor. I was definitely a fat kid at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it's so relatable. It's so fun. It's got Kenan Thompson in it. It's got like 3/4 of the cast of the Mighty Ducks in it.
Nice.
It's
Quack.
Yeah.
Quack.
Absolutely, Mr. Ducksworth. It's so good. It's so much fun. Ben Stiller plays the camp, the one who's purchased the camp.
Okay.
So Ben Stiller has purchased the camp in a questionable method from his father, Jerry Stiller, who is the original owner of the camp. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, it is awesome.
Love Jerry Stiller so much.
He's so good, and he's so heartwarming in this. And Ben Stiller is fucking bananas. Like, you can tell this is what came into his roles later on for Happy Gilmore and Dodgeball. He's so over the top. It's so fucking funny. It's so, like, this movie, just, I really can't say anything negative about it because it's so much fun. There are lines from this movie I quote to this day. It's just so much fun all the time. It's absurd and great. And I found out today it's got Paul Feig in it, the director of Bridesmaids and Ghostbusters Answer the Call.
Wow.
Who I didn't even know that was him.
That's interesting.
When I saw it, I was like, wait, what? It blew my mind.
I love it when you find something out.
Yeah, I completely just, like, I short-circuited when I read that. I was like, that's him? Holy shit. I didn't even know he acted.
That's great.
Yeah, wild shit. It's so much fun. If you get a chance to watch it, it's well worth your time. It's such a treat. It has heart. It's got a good story. I don't think you'll be disappointed you watched it.
Nice.
IMDb, 6.7 out of 10 for this one.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 7 critics went back and reviewed.
I was wondering how many people would go back to it on both sides, really.
Into an insulting. I'd love to find out the address of these 7 critics who reviewed this film to a paltry 29%. Because this movie, like, 29% is low. Like, that's so low, I would not watch this movie based on the critical reviews.
Correct.
This movie's way better than that.
You sons of bitches.
Like, I would go shank every one of these 7 critics.
And I would watch it. That would make me an accomplice.
Absolutely. And I wouldn't even use anything sharp. I'd want it to be painful and long for them.
I would like the knife puppy to be sitting obediently next to you, not stabbing them.
Yeah, or just hand me a handle to the knife, and I'd shank them with the handle.
Oh,
I don't care
goodness.
How long that shit took.
Yeah.
Audience, 25,000 plus.
That's a lot.
77%.
There,
like,
you go.
What the shit? Like, we're talking 6.7, 77, and then there's these assholes. These 7 assholes.
Oh, they're the worst.
They're assholes who get shit in by other assholes.
That's the worst kind of asshole.
That's the worst kind of asshole you can be.
Oh. Buttception.
Absolutely buttception. I'm coming in and saving the fucking day here.
Yeah.
8 out of 10 for Heavyweights.
That's what I want to hear.
It's so good.
You're so good. My goodness.
My goodness. I'm the best kind of asshole.
There it is. Well, how do you follow that up? I don't know how to follow that up.
Probably with the movie.
I guess I'll do the movie.
Please do.
I got no segue. My movie is from 1950.
Oh, my God.
So I got nothing here.
Nothing.
Nothing. If it was boxing, maybe, but
yeah,
it's not.
No.
Gun Crazy.
Ooh.
You ever seen Gun Crazy?
No.
All right. Gun Crazy's fun.
That's a good name.
It's a great name. Tells you what you're getting into, especially in 1950.
Damn right.
I'm sure this caused a lot of controversy.
Is it a Western? Right?
It is not.
Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah, I watched it January 6th, 2021. IMDb minutes, 1 hour 27. See, they knew back then beautiful what time was. Pew, pew. Genre, crime, if they just did that the whole time. Pew, pew. Crime, drama, film noir.
Oh, baby.
Oh, yeah. Directed by Joseph H. Lewis, starring John Dahl, Peggy Cummins, and Barry Kroger.
Okay.
Your IMDb movie summary. Two disturbed people realize their fascination with guns through a crime spree.
Okay.
My bullet points, it's like Bonnie and Clyde.
Okay. Sounds
very
right.
Very Bonnie and Clyde-esque. It's a genuine love story that gets twisted the more the movie goes along.
Okay.
Guns are bad. Story in the 50s. Okay. Guns are bad, okay? Guns are bad story in a 50s style pretty much means guns are actually cool.
Yeah, you know? Much. It's not Reefer Madness, people.
Yeah, nothing doesn't feel bad, you know? Nobody feels bad for having a gun addiction. It's just a strange movie overall in that respect, going back and watching it now. So what happens, essentially, is this starts with the main male character when he's young, and he ends up throwing a brick through a window to steal a gun out of a pawn shop.
Of course, I've done that.
And many times. So many bricks, so many windows.
I have so many guns.
It's one brick. I'm really good at it.
Smart.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
It's in my trunk if anybody wants to get it.
I've wasted a lot of bricks.
I can get you a brick.
I appreciate that.
Just a brick, though.
I have to get it back. It sounds like it's a lot of work.
You just put a string on it.
Hmm.
Brick on a stick.
Damn.
String.
You figure I'd just use the guns that I've stolen after all these years, but no. These bricks.
You gotta make a statement.
Other bricks, yeah.
A gun might not take the window out. A brick will.
That's a good point.
That's how I look.
I feel smarter.
So he steals this gun. He ends up getting caught. And he goes to a juvenile court kind of thing. And they're just like, why did you steal the gun, little Timmy? You know? And he's like,
That's you.
Yeah. I just like guns, you know? And then everybody comes to his defense, his character witnesses, and they're just like, he likes guns, sure, because he's good at shooting, but, like, he would never hurt anybody. And they pretty much just, like, send him away. Like it's cool. No charges.
Wow.
And I'm like, is that all you had to do back in the 50s? No, he good. All right.
Noted.
He ends up, he does end up going to the military, and he serves in the military, and he comes back home, and he's kind of like a 20-something-year-old man, and he's still great. He's like a sharpshooter. He's
okay.
Really, so his fascination with guns, he got good with guns. And then it's basically he meets up with this woman who he's infatuated with. She works at a carnival kind of thing, like a circus thing that's coming around, and her show is gun-based.
Interesting.
Where, she shoots apples off of people's heads. She does very crazy gun stunts. Even for now, it'd still be, like, dangerous. And she challenges anybody in the audience to take her on. He takes her on. He actually beats her.
Nice.
And they end up having a romance. He ends up getting her away from the carnival. Hmm. And they go and they get married. They try to have a life. And the more it goes on, the more it gets bad. It's Bonnie and Clyde. It really is. But it's got its own twists to where he's kind of like, I want you to stop being this way. I want to be on the straight and narrow. I'd just rather get a shitty job. And she's like, no, I'm just going to keep doing this with or without you. So you might as well help me so nobody gets hurt. Because I don't give a shit. I'll shoot anybody in the face.
Goddamn.
Yeah, it's pretty deep for the 50s, I'll say.
That is pretty deep.
It's good. I love the ending. If you can make it through a black and white old movie, this movie pretty fun.
That's cool. I really wish a woman would look me in the eye and say, you're either going to do this with me or without me because I'll shoot any fucking body in the face.
I know, right?
I know.
Nothing one day.
Says love like a woman telling you she'll shoot anybody in the fucking face.
I know. I'm sure Sam's just building up the courage to say it to you. It's a big line.
If she shot people in the face, that's a lot to unpack.
She doesn't have to actually do... Sam, if you're listening, you don't have to actually shoot anybody in the face. You just have to threaten it.
It's true. You just have to say, I shoot anybody in the fucking face.
If you
just
don't
mean it.
Yeah, if you don't own a gun, it's like way easier to get away with
absolutely.
Not doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I don't have a gun. Never mind. IMDb gave it a 7.6. Rotten Tomato Critics. Here's something you'll enjoy. 40 critics. You want to guess it?
I always go back and complain about how they underrate these movies. I'm going to go with 24%.
40 critics, 98%.
Whoa.
Yes.
Damn.
I can't believe that.
Damn.
I mean, this movie's good, trust me, but Rotten Tomato audience, 3,264 people, 84%.
Holy shit.
When I'm the lowest number, and not by much, I gave it a 6.5. I thought this movie was a blast.
Pun intended.
Pun intended, baby.
Damn. Click, click, boom.
Oh, no, saliva.
How about 1986?
Hey, how about it?
The best year.
That's the best year.
The best year. Big Trouble.
Oh.
In Little China.
Oh, we're doing it?
Doing it.
This is iconic.
This is iconic.
I get excited every time we do something I know you love.
I fucking love John Carpenter.
Hell yeah.
Watch this in August of 2020. 1 hour, 39 minutes.
Hell yeah. He gets 9 extra minutes.
So good. Action fantasy film directed by the immortal John Carpenter. Starring the immortal Kurt Russell, the fantastic Kim Cattrall, the fucking just immeasurable Victor Wong, so many people, James Hong, who's still fucking alive somehow at 92, I do believe at this point.
He's stealing souls.
David fucking Lopan, he really is. It's just so good. IMDb movie summary here. A rough and tumble trucker helps rescue his friend's fiance from an ancient sorcerer in a supernatural battle beneath Chinatown.
Oh, Chinatown.
Mother of God, this movie is so good. So, to draw parallels to this, you have to look at Russell's performance. And you also have to look at Russell's performance in another John Carpenter film, which is Escape from New York. So in Escape from New York, he plays a character called Snake Plissken. Snake Plissken is Kurt Russell playing Clint Eastwood.
Right.
Quiet, pointed, very much to the, I mean, there's no bullshit. He's just cutting right to the quick. Kurt Russell in this film is playing John Wayne. Mm-hmm. Big, over-the-top, bombastic, just cocksure, awesome performance from him. Two completely different styles of playing a Western character. And if you're not familiar with Carpenter all that much, John Ford is like his fucking hero.
Sure.
So, you know what I mean? Those guys, that huge, that ilk of Western directors were just kind of his jam.
For sure.
You gotta see, and if you go back and watch those movies, you can see a lot of parallels to how John tends to direct. A lot of anamorphic lenses, big wide aspect ratios. He goes for larger performances that tie into the overall visuals, where you get a lot of bigger performances, but generally because things are so big and so cinematic in his world, it gets played totally straight. So as big as Russell is, and this is a very animated performance from Russell, it still really works. And the thing that strikes me with Big Trouble is the tone of the film is so perfect for action and fun. Like, there's just enough there that you're like, are they gonna die? I'm not sure. Like, but I'm having a fucking blast. Somebody's probably going to get picked off in the main cast.
It's because it's an adventure movie. The 80s were so good at adventure.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, it borderlines on action, but then it's got like the fun elemental kind of stuff. Yes. With the villains.
It's yeah. So cool. The sorcerer stuff, the giant, like the three winds, all, yeah. You know what I mean? Like
so good.
The three elements are all really good. The blowing up into a big ball. Like, it's so absurd and so crazy. Like, you don't know what the hell's going to happen in the next scene. Like, they go underground and there's monsters and the guardian with its weird floating ball three eye thing. Like, there's so much weird shit and they just don't explain it.
Right.
There's like, you gotta understand this.
But do you have to?
No. That's what's so good. Nowadays we tend to over explain and shoot things so fast that it's like, man, we just like could enjoy films back then. Like, there's the whole first two acts of this film are fucking batshit and they don't explain anything. And then the third act happens and it's somehow even bigger than that. Like, we don't understand anything like Xing Dai or anything really. Like, you just explain that Lopan's this powerful and he's like a servant of Xing Dai and we don't really know anything else, but that must be some powerful shit because they're like magicking at each other and it's crazy. It just shows more than it tells. And that I think is really, really indicative of film back then. It's such a good movie. Watch this movie. If you haven't seen this movie, what the fuck are you doing with your movie watchings?
Gosh, what are you doing?
Watch this movie.
Now.
Yes, please.
We'll wait.
Yeah. All right, now that you've watched it, I'll get into the scores. IMDb, 7.3 out of 10. A little low, I know. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 45 of them coming in at 78%. I know, still a touch low here. Audience, 100,000 plus people, 82%. Probably close to what you gave it. But if you're anything like me, 8.5 out of 10 for this one. This movie
nice.
Fucking rocks.
I thought it was going to be 9.5.
It's definitely up there for my Carpenters, but I don't know. My John Carpenter, that's like picking children for me. It's
sure.
My favorite John Carpenter films.
Yeah.
His movies just, like, there are a few that suck, but very fucking few that suck.
That's right. I agree with you. Cliff doesn't, but, you know, Cliff can be wrong.
He likes Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
He does. I won't tell you which one he doesn't like, because you'll be mad.
I will be mad. Because if it's any of them, it's a problem, Cliff.
I like the fact that this might air after that other one where he tells you which one it is he doesn't like. That'd be good. Well, let's talk about a movie. Let's talk about my final movie of the evening. Let's talk about a great movie.
Oh, I love talking about great movies.
But let's talk about a movie that inspired a great show.
Oh, I like that. Now,
that doesn't happen every day.
No, it does not.
It's usually one's good and one the other one not so much.
Right.
1973's Westworld.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you seen Westworld, the movie?
Yes.
Have you seen the show?
No.
Okay. There are some parallels, and I'll do my best not to ruin anything for you people out there. I watched it on January 8th, 2021. It's an hour 28.
It is.
Action sci-fi thriller, directed by a guy by the name of Michael Crichton.
Ah, famous novelist.
Might have had a little thing, you know, for you guys, a little, you know, in the Jurassic Park.
Yeah, he wrote the novel Jurassic Park.
Crazy. The amount of things this man did while he was alive.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Really cool.
Starring Yul Brynner.
She's so fucking good in this movie.
This is like, it's so hard to say it's his best performance because he's got a handful.
The
King and I is probably
Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
But this movie, he is he's horrifying without having to try.
This movie is the most up my alley, and I'm still probably going to say The King and I, but like, my goodness, this movie.
It's so good.
Richard Benjamin and James Brolin.
James Brolin, yeah.
Yep. IMDb movie summary, a robot malfunction creates havoc and terror for unsuspecting vacationers at a futuristic adult-themed amusement park.
Westworld.
If you've only seen the show, which is fair, the show's red hot.
Oh, yeah.
The show is pretty good. I gave up after season two, but that's me. The first season is amazing.
That's what I heard Hopkins fucking
first
crushes.
First season is so good.
Yeah.
And that first episode, the first 20 minutes or so of that episode is almost completely the first 20 minutes of this movie.
Oh, sick.
Which I thought was a good call because they do a good job of explaining what Westworld is, that there's two other worlds as well you can go visit and vacation and go do your hedonism or your murder or whatever it is you want to get out of your system.
Absolutely.
It's a good premise for a movie.
Absolutely is.
My bullet points, Yul Brynner's walk inspired John Carpenter's walk for Michael Myers in Halloween.
Yes, it did.
The first 20 minutes feel, well, I'm getting good at knowing my bullet points before I get there.
Yeah.
It has a sequel that I'm sure I'll get to eventually called Future World.
It does.
Yeah, I know. It's not as good.
No.
It's such a crazy cool movie for its time, and its effects are awesome.
Awesome. Brolin's so good in this movie.
Brolin, very good. Insane movie, right?
It's crazy premise.
Right. And even knowing Westworld, like all of season one is relatively what they're going to reference here. So good.
So good.
So good. Robots that you can have sex with. You can murder. You can do whatever you want. You could just be a good guy and become the sheriff of a town. It's all pre-programmed. You find out when you first meet Yul Brynner that he's a dick and that he's a robot. They tell you that right away.
Yep.
He starts smoking and malfunctioning and they're trying to figure out what's wrong with him. I like a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Yeah, there's these big 70s computers that are just
It's so great, though.
It is. It adds to the mystique. But there's a head scientist guy. He really makes this movie for me because he's just like, why isn't this working? This should be working. And they fix little problems, and then ultimately everything fails.
Yes.
And everything goes straight to shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the robots revolt and arise.
And we got a great episode of The Simpsons based on this, too.
Oh, that's right.
Itchy and Scratchy Land, yeah.
Yep. Very good stuff.
Oh, my God.
This movie is fantastic. If you like the show, you have to watch this.
My son is also named Bort.
Nice. Oh, man. I haven't seen that one in a while, but goodness.
So now good. That you've watched this, go back and watch it.
And I'll just love it.
It's fucking brilliant, yeah.
This is just a perfect use. And I think I appreciate, especially season one of Westworld, so much more having watched.
That's cool.
Rewatch this. I'm just like, oh my goodness, it's so good.
Brolin's so good at reacting to everything that goes on. He really, I think, makes it more frightening than it probably should be.
Right, because he's kind of like the heavy, and Richard Benjamin's kind of like, he's kind of the main character, but not. Like,
yeah.
They split it, but yep. Like, it's like, it's kind of like James Brolin is like, I'm wanting to show you this. This is a good time.
Absolutely.
And
it starts to unravel. He's just like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
And you see Richard Benjamin get more comfortable. There's a scene probably towards the mid of the movie, the end of the second act, probably, where they just get into a brawl fight, big bar fight. And they are like falling over tables. They're probably killing themselves here. And they love it.
Yeah.
They can't get enough. And he was very timid when they first entered the park.
Yeah, it's cool.
I love that evolution.
Yep.
And then you go from there to where.
It's what happens when the writer is the director, right? Like you get these great character arcs. Yeah.
And I've said that about comics. When the writer is the artist, you get some real personal, good storytelling.
Absolutely.
Not always. But usually.
Yep.
So time to go to the scores. Rotten Tomato, or I'm sorry, I skipped. IMDb, 7.0.
IMDb, your favorite.
I know. They're my boys. 7.0.
Mm-hmm.
Rotten Tomato critics, 38 of them, which is a criminally low amount of critics.
Agreed.
For this movie, 87%.
Still high.
Still good. 16,151 audience members over Rotten Tomatoes give it 70%.
Okay.
This movie not only has a score for me and my wife, it's got the precious mother-in-law.
The trifecta.
The trifecta. Holy we all shit. Sat and watched it. Actually, that's not true. Mother-in-law watched it later after we raved about it.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So, do you want to guess out of the trifecta who gave it the highest score?
I'm going to go with your wife.
No.
Damn, mother-in-law, huh?
Me.
Wow, that's yep. unfathomable. That right. literal last person I would have guessed.
Yep. I gave it an 8.0.
Damn.
I liked it a lot. My wife gave it a 7.0. The mother-in-law, not so much.
Not enjoying
and
it.
And she's watched all of the show, so maybe that impacted her. I don't know. 5.0.
Okay.
With the quote.
Mother-in-law, we got to talk.
Richard Benjamin runs like a girl.
I won't disagree with her on that one.
He has a weird run.
He does.
She's like, it took me out of it. He has this weird run. It goes on for like fucking ever.
That's brilliant.
And I was like, you're not wrong. I mean,
I love that. That's yeah. great. But no, I'm closer to you for sure. This movie's so fucking cool.
It's something that you should watch at some point.
Yeah. Get out there. Watch it.
Now.